This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
This is Central Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
We always parade winners around here.
From 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
For any of you who have listened in the past, you know that I am not a radio-trained personality, so we are just going by the seat of our pants.
It's time for the Tri-Cities number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Victoria and Zaretska, you know, these Russians, they need to buy a vowel. Let me just say that. They need to buy a vowel with that first name.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Need a vehicle? Think Midway.com.
No. I don't think that's just it's minor. It's just a minor sin. It's a minor one. Well, I'm coming to you then for some of the major ones.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show.
And a good Friday to you. Welcome to the Doug and Daddy Show. Randy Bushcutter, and joining me as my co-host today is Jared Schaffrin from the Tri-City Storm and our sister station on the Breeze that does all the Storm games, as well as media specialist for the Storm. We have a full show for you today. We'll talk with Brian Barnhart from the Fighting Illini Radio Network to talk one of our Big Ten events. We'll talk a little hockey with Jared here in a little bit, as well as Jade Meads from the Nebraska Senior Games, working with the Recreation Department here in the city of Kearney. But before we get going here, Jared, welcome aboard. Glad you could join us as co-host.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Randy. This is exciting to be on the show today.
And it does show that opposites can get together here. Yep. You being a Jets fan, me being a Dolphins fan, I've decided to tolerate you, and I didn't know about the whole Jets thing until after I invited you. So,
well, this is why
you get me
during the off season,
yeah,
so you don't
true.
Have to worry about, you know, the games aren't coming up yet. In the off season, we don't have to talk about it.
Yeah, and you kind of said you're on board with Tannehill, so I guess
I'm on board with Tannehill because he hasn't won anything yet.
Oh, like every Jets quarterback except for that guy from Alabama.
I didn't say I was on board with those guys.
Every Jets quarterback of your lifetime and almost mine, almost. We will be talking about kind of folks my age here and some of their athletic prowess as we get going. So we've got a full show. Let's get right underway here. As we mentioned, Jade Meads from the city of Kearney, kind enough to join us. And again, Jade, one of the major hats that you wear is kind of coordinating the Nebraska Senior Games. First of all, welcome aboard. Glad you could join us.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Let's talk a little bit about the Senior Games. Been around for about a quarter century now, you know, and this is before your time, but talk a little bit about how it got started and kind of what the Senior Games are all about.
Yeah, this is actually our 26th year for the Games. They didn't start off in Kearney, but they've been going strong for, I think, at least 20 years here in Kearney. But anyway, each year it's increased in numbers. We started with as low as, you know, 100 participants. When I got here, we were around the 200 mark. And in the past couple years, just last year, we increased to 400 participants. I think it's sparking more interest across the state. One unique thing about us is that we're also open to out-of-state residents. So people from out of states come. We normally have at least 10 states represented at our games, but we just offer a variety of sports for people age 50 and older, men and women, to participate. Anywhere from 3-on-3 basketball, swimming, pickleball, badminton, track and field, and bowling seem to be our popular ones. And then we have some less competitive ones like line dancing and pitch tournament, a wellness walk. So just a lot of activities that people can participate in.
Again, a very wide range there.
Yes.
Pickleball, I don't know much about pickleball, but that it seems to be, it's like basically it's ping pong, but you are on the table. I mean, it's a little bit different than tennis, right?
Yes, it's a cross between ping pong and tennis is kind of what they say. It's on a 44 by 20 foot court, and the net's about the tennis court size, and it's a kind of like a small wiffle ball that you work with, and a paddle more like a racquetball paddle, and then you just kind of play. There's singles, doubles, mixed doubles, and that's actually one of our most popular sports as well. It's really grown in the past couple years because it's grown across the nation. So,
Yeah, and just maybe give us a little synopsis. So you sign up. Do you pick the sports that you're involved in? How do you go about getting registered for these different sports?
Yeah, you can definitely go to our website, which is NebraskaSeniorGames.com, and there's a registration form on there. And then it also gives you details about the games and what we offer. So you can register for as many events as you want. We offer over 15 different events, and within those events, obviously, there's, you know, track and field. There's an array of activities to do there, and then we also like single, doubles, and mixed in the different sports as well. So people can sign up for as many events as they want. One thing we do caution them is just to make sure that, you know, some events may overlap, especially, you know, some tournaments might last a little longer, so you can't play in, you know, a tournament that starts a little bit later. So just kind of be cautious of when the events start, but otherwise you can just go online. We also have paper registrations as well that they can pick up at the KPR office, or we can also email them if they would, or email or mail them if they would like. Then they just sign up and they're good to go.
And has another full week to kind of investigate things. The registration deadline is a week from today,
yes.
And the games themselves are in August.
Yes, the registration deadline is July 17th. We tend to get a lot of registrations this week here because people tend to wait till the last minute. So if you're one of those, that's completely fine. Just go ahead and get that registration in before Friday. And the actual games will be August 6th through the 9th, and they run Thursday through Sunday.
And registration fees, that sort of thing. Talk a little bit about that. And one fee, as many events as you can work in, right?
It's actually a $25 fee, and that's for your first event, a t-shirt, and a goodie bag. And then it's an additional $2 for each event that you participate in. So not too bad.
That's pretty minimal.
Yeah,
with that. Now, not everybody has a three-on-three team mm-hmm. with them. Is there some efforts made if somebody wants to play basketball but doesn't necessarily have a full team of being able to find them a team, even if they sign up as an individual?
We actually don't allow people to sign up unless they have partners or do have a team. But that being said, they can contact us. And if we get other people, you know, that it tends to happen a lot in like the doubles tournaments for tennis or badminton or pickleball. If they just kind of let us know, then there's another person that might want to partner and we can help them partner up. So we can help assist in those areas.
And probably the sooner you do that, the better, the easier to find that partner.
Yes, of course. If you get on the list a little sooner and the next person that calls up, then we'll definitely get you guys paired together. So,
and you guys have a bunch of different age groups as well. What kinds of age groups and how does that differentiate?
Yes. So we have, they actually go in increments of five. So 50 to 54, 55 to 59 and so forth. And you'll be participating in with people in your age group. Now, a lot of the times not necessarily people might not sign up in that age group, so you might play a couple games outside of your age group just so you can, you know, get some games. We don't want people coming up here just to play one match versus the other person that's in their age bracket, so we make sure that, you know, it's worth people's time to come up and they will play some games and may potentially play outside of their age range or even like in track they may run against them, but it's just they'll be placed by just who's in their age group, and we give medals to first through third place. So
it seems to me, and I was surprised to find out that we're speaking with Jade Meads from the Kearney Park Rec Department, mm-hmm. Recreation Coordinator for the City of Kearney, talking about the Nebraska Senior Games registration a week from today, and it is going to be in August. I'm surprised to find out that I thought it started in Kearney. You know, I knew it's been around for a while, 26 mm-hmm. years, but it how has it changed since the time it's been in Kearney and over the time? And you haven't been here for the whole 26
no.
years, but obviously. How has it kind of changed over the years?
Mm-hmm. It's definitely evolved. I'm not 100% sure on how many events we started with, but I know it wasn't the whole 15 events. I want to say maybe it was five or six where, you know, it just started, get the ball rolling, and then we've expanded to 15 events, and obviously that's expanded our participation as well. We are obviously part of the National Senior Games Association. We're a member of that association, so I'm sure that they've added on, you know, different sports that you can qualify to go on to nationals. So we picked up pickleball just a couple years ago, my first year here in 2012. We picked up pickleball, and then, like I said, that's expanded and helped our numbers. So I think just the expansion of the events that are offered, and then the more people come, the more we can look at to, you know, expanding and providing different opportunities for people.
So somebody throws out an idea, have you ever thought of, then you'd start thinking of it.
You there have been people who have called me and asked, hey, have you done this? Have you done this? I've actually talked to a gentleman yesterday, called me, and he really wanted to run a 55-meter dash. And we don't have a 55-meter dash. We just do the 50-meter dash or the 100-meter dash. But he was really disappointed because he wanted to reach his All-American status. I guess it's one of those All-American statuses, races that you can do and compete in. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you know, no one's ever said anything to me, but I'll definitely write that down. And someone's brought up weightlifting to me and just different events. And just because we're part of National Senior Game Association doesn't mean we can't offer different events. Like, we don't have to offer just the events out.
That they sanction or
yes,
whatever.
Exactly. Yeah. So I've gotten some couple ideas from people and definitely written them down. And, you know, I'm like, well, if I get a couple other people that, you know, express the same interest, then maybe that's something we can look at adding. So
outstanding. And how are registrations going? We kind of talked before mm-hmm. we got on air, so I know the answer to the question, but how are registrations going?
They're going all right. I think we're at 100 right now. So my goal was 350. The National Senior Games are going on right now and last until this July 15th, I believe it is. So I think that may take away a few of our participants just because it's kind of a quick turnaround with August. And we have the state games going on in Lincoln and the veterans game and going on in Omaha around the same time. But I'm hoping that, you know, people still, you know, try to make time for our games in August 6th through the 9th. But I'm really thinking that we may reach that 300 mark. Last year, we had 268 participants sign up in just the month of July. And right now, I think we're at, you know, 50 that have signed up in July. So I'm hoping we get that, you know, 150 more sign up or so.
Hopefully there's people like me that always wait to the last minute. Yep. Well, that last minute is coming up here because registration is due 1 week from today.
Yes, July 17th. And a lot of them do roll in then. So, and registration is kind of early. The deadline is kind of early, but we kind of give us that leeway time to get in all those later registrations and, you know, allow us time to make brackets. So.
Okay. Again, give the website so people can get registered.
Yes. www.nebraskaseniorgames.com.
All right. Outstanding, Jade. Appreciate your time and best of luck moving forward.
Yes. Thank you very much.
You got a long way to go before you're going to be playing this thing. So 50 on up. I mean, one of us in this room can actually play in this and it's not Jared. So
definitely not me.
So I better see your registration come through by next Friday.
We'll see how that works. That pitch tournament sounds intriguing.
There you go. Yeah.
My kids cheated pitch. So, you know, hate to play with them. Jade, I appreciate the time.
Thank you.
All right. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll start our preview of the 14 teams that make up the Big Ten Conference. We'll start with Illinois. We'll talk with Brian Barnhart, the voice of the Fighting Illini. Also, we'll talk a little hockey. We'll continue with more of the Doug and Daddy Show right after this.
Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, getting you back in the game of life. With two locations in Kearney, the Ortho Clinic at the Kearney Clinic and the Rehab Clinic at the ENT Building. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, excellence in rehabilitation. A very proud supporter of the area athletes in and out of the game. Locations serving Kearney, Lexington, Minden, Ravenna, and Wood River. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center.
Cornhusker Honda presents a reality check. You don't have to shop all over to find your new Honda. Just head to Cornhusker Honda in Grand Island. You'll find great savings right now at America's most reliable cars and trucks. Plus, financing as low as 0.9% for up to 60 months with your good credit. That's savings for the long haul. The reality is the right choice is right here. Cornhusker Honda, just off North Highway 281 in Grand Island.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Farming is your livelihood, and we understand that. After all, the companies of Farm Bureau Financial Services were originally founded to serve the unique insurance and financial services needs of farmers. Contact Farm Bureau agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers in Kearney and learn how they make it simple to help you select the coverage that's right for you today and provide options for the future of your growing operation. Call Rich Peters or Matt Myers in Kearney today. Farm Bureau Property and Casualty Insurance Company, Western Agricultural Insurance Company. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC. Affiliate, Farm Bureau Financial Services.
We'll stay with more cloud cover in the area today, along with some developing showers and storms around the region as well, with a high near 80, southeast wind stay at 10 to 15. With some scattered showers and storms tonight, we'll head down to 65. I'm Paul Trombley. Right now, 72.
Yeah, I'm registering for the senior games, and this is what Caleb chooses as a little bump music here.
This is more towards my age range.
Yeah, and I'm okay with this, actually. I'm okay with that. It's good to have variety, which brings us to Big Dally's Deli, home of a bazillion and one sandwiches. They have a couple locations to serve you in Hastings, 610 East South Street, and in downtown Hastings at 801 West 2nd. And on South Street, that's just right across the street from Duncan Field. All sandwiches served with your choice of freshly baked bread or a bun, cheese, fresh veggies, condiments, dill pickle spear on the side. They have those side items like chips, but the potato salad, which is delicious. Fruit cups for the more healthily inclined of you. Side salad, homemade soup available in cup or a bowl. Desserts, cookies, and a whole lot more. And they also offer that meat and cheese trays. They're 2-foot-long sandwiches for special events. You can just kind of graze on that all day long. Call ahead for current pricing and for special orders. Big Dally's Deli, home of a bazillion and one sandwiches, and they mean it. With all the other options that you have a tremendous variety that you can have there at Big Dally's Deli, because too many is better than not enough. Randy Bushcutter with Jared Schaffran, kind enough to join us as our co-host here today, and we were kind of talking a little tennis during the break, and you're a big tennis fan.
I am, yeah. Played tennis in high school growing up, played at a pretty high level in college, club level, but pretty high club level. And so I get into Wimbledon's the one tournament, right, that I get into. I watch the U.S. Open because I'm from New York, and so that's kind of a special thing. But I think Wimbledon has to be that one tournament of the year that you really got
to
get into.
It kind of is the whole thing. To me, Wimbledon reminds me a lot of the Masters. There's that long-time tradition and that sort of thing. And the U.S. Open, I think they often call that, what, the hardest tournament in the world, or because of the heat and everything else. I mean, it really is kind of a grueling thing, and the time zones work better in terms of watching some of the matches. So I probably watch more U.S. Open than I do Wimbledon, and it's the big sports event, you know, so I kind of follow it because it's the big sports event. And you're kind of pointing out Roger Federer, his staying power in tennis has been outstanding.
Well, right now, you know, we got it on Roger Federer. He took the first set against Andy Murray here in the second semifinal of this Wimbledon, and yeah, his staying power is incredible. I remember 5-6 years ago how everyone was talking about how Federer is getting older, his time is closing, his window is closing. Here he is, Andy Murray is in his prime, and Federer's leading him on his court in Wimbledon, and it's pretty amazing. I don't know that Federer is going to be able to handle Djokovic. Djokovic is clearly number one. He advanced earlier today. It's going to be Djokovic in the final, and I'd be shocked if Djokovic loses in the final, but even for Roger Federer to be in the final and to advance, almost he's been in the top four of pretty much every major tournament over the past couple of years. At his age of 33, to be still better than most of the other guys who are in their early mid-20s is pretty incredible.
Yeah, usually about 28, you really kind of see that fall off. We were talking a little bit about Sampras, but by the time Sampras was, what did you say, 32?
He retired at 32, yeah.
Yeah, so they're out of it.
And everybody loves Sampras, so no one really wanted to see him retire, but he had to because he just couldn't do it anymore. Whereas Federer's, I mean, he's unbelievable.
Yeah, when he fell off, when Sampras fell off, deteriorated.
Well,
however,
same
you want
thing
to
with Agassi. You
done.
Could say the same thing with Agassi. I mean, everyone loves seeing Agassi, but his last U.S. Open was incredible. Such a great atmosphere for people to watch him one more time, but he wasn't able to do it anymore. And Federer has kept himself in incredible shape. He has had really no major injuries, and that's helped him, as Sampras and Agassi both had major injuries they had to come back. Sampras, I mean, Federer, he's been, over the course of his career, you can't really think of a time where he's had a major injury.
No. And he's been outstanding the whole way through there. Now, let's talk a little hockey.
Sure.
Obviously your field of expertise with the Storm. A lot of transition going on with the Storm right now with kind of the management group at the arena, obviously with Holton going and the new head coach being announced on Monday. I just kind of want to throw it out there for you for your take in this period of transition, because things were pretty good. And for them to have change, people are a little uneasy with change. You can accept it when things are heading the wrong direction, but things were heading in the right direction. So I think that change makes a lot of Storm fans right now very apprehensive.
Understandable. I think in the whole history of the Storm, there's always been a lot of change, but mostly because they were trying to figure it out and get it right. And look, here's the thing that I'll say right now. First of all, at the top, the ownership group, the owner, Kirk Brooks, is as strong as ever. He's very involved right now. Maybe he's... And I've been with the team for three seasons now. He may be more involved on a day-to-day basis than I've ever seen him. Maybe, you know, maybe when he took over, he was obviously really involved. But over the last couple months with this change, he has been involved on a day-to-day basis. I've talked to him a whole bunch. Everybody in the office has been very much communicating with him. So the ownership at the top, where it's the most important, is not really had any changes. And that's really important for everyone to understand. But the other thing is, in the USHL, you only have a few teams that don't go through these changes. And this is my third offseason, and there's been way more changes than in the first two. There were some changes in the first two. But if you look at some of the best teams in the league year in and year out, they have to go through the same issues that the Storm are going through right now. Take, for instance, Dubuque. Dubuque's been in their 5 or 6 years back in the league. They've been the best team. They've been in the playoffs every single year. They have two championships. This past season, they were in the final four teams. They just lost their head coach, just like the Storm did. He's going to the University of North Dakota to be an assistant coach, and they're looking for a head coach. The Youngstown Phantoms were the best team in the regular season, the USHL, last year. They lost in the first round, but they were the best team regular season. Their head coach just left to take a professional job, so they're looking for a new head coach. You look at the
Omaha. It's the nature of the league.
But I just want Storm fans to understand, part of the reason why all the change is happening is because of the success that the team had the last year. If you're not having anybody who's desirable in your organization, you're going to stay the same and you're never going to improve. So I think the organization took a huge leap, because just looking at the coaches that were applying for the job when the job was open, you look at right now, Bill McColt took the job. He's looking at some assistant coaches. The assistant coaches applying for this position are off the charts compared to what we saw a couple of years ago when we had some assistant coach openings. So the league is growing. The Storm are moving upwards, but it is a lot of change, and things are going to be different next year. Absolutely. Bill McColt's going to run a different system, a different program. A lot of the players are going to be different. There's some returners, and we can talk about those guys, but it's going to be different, but it's kind of the nature of the beast. When you have a great season, things change.
And with the new coach and obviously Jim Holton, that was kind of an interesting situation in that I think he wanted to come back and it didn't time out. They weren't kind of on the same page, really. My take on it was that it seemed like there was a deadline that Coach Holton wasn't really aware of, and he decided he wanted to come back. But at that point, they said, well, we hadn't heard anything for a while, so it was kind of time for us to move on.
Yeah, I guess, kind of. I wouldn't say that they hadn't heard anything for a while, because Coach had just run our tryout camp in Las Vegas, and he was helping pick
but
the
no
team.
Decision. No, but by not
but,
hearing anything,
but,
that's
but
what
right.
I mean.
There's a contract offer on the table. He took some time to mull it over. Never really gave him a concrete, hey, I'm moving to Kearney, or hey, no, I'm not moving to Kearney. And so I think the worry was, hey, we can put this out there, he was obviously interviewing for a lot of other jobs. He got offered some other jobs that he passed on, and was still kind of searching for what was best for him. He hadn't decided whether he was going to interview for more jobs, come back to Kearney, move his family. There's a lot of things out that were out there, and I think the ownership group just made a decision and said, if they haven't made a decision, that is the decision. You know, if you're not 100% sure if you want to move to Kearney, then that tells us that you're not 100% in. And they were looking for a long-term agreement.
let's talk about the new guy. He has never been a head coach before, but his recruiting, his credentials in terms of being able to evaluate talent, very, very high. And he's going to go through the formal introduction on Monday, but we can kind of preview that a little bit. Talk about the new coach of the Storm.
Absolutely. It's interesting, Randy, because during the offseason, usually there's some periods of downtime, and I don't think there's ever been a time where there's not stuff going on with the Storm organization. This summer, it's been draft, long run in the playoffs, Jim Holton contract saga, Bill McColt gets hired. Now, we're going to introduce Bill McColt. He's going to be here this weekend, moving to Kearney. We're going to introduce him officially on Monday. If you're a season ticket holder, you get a chance to meet Bill on Monday night at 6 o'clock. We're having a meet and greet with season ticket holders. The media will be there for the press conference in the afternoon on Monday. And we're announcing our schedule next week as well. So there's going to be some excitement because the schedule is going to be out there. You're going to be able to see a lot of hard, concrete things. That's going to be announced early next week. And players are going to start rolling in here in about a month. So it's been really quick. And just to get to your question, Bill, I haven't met him in person yet. Talked to him on the phone a bunch of times. He seems very detail-oriented. He knows what he wants out of a player. You mentioned his talent evaluation and Michigan Tech. If you haven't heard of Michigan Tech hockey, it's because they haven't been very good in the NCAA Division I. They're a team in the WCHA conference and Division I hockey, but they've been one of the bottom dwellers over the last couple of years. And last season, Bill McColt took that team with his recruiting over the past 4 or 5 years. They won 29 games. They went, I think, 29-10-2. The most wins in Division I hockey was Michigan Tech last year. They actually achieved their first number one ranking in the polls ever.
And number one overall national seed for the tournament.
No, they were not number one overall.
I thought they were.
That was Minnesota State, also a WCHA team. But they did make the tournament. They unfortunately did lose in the tournament. But, I mean, once you get to the tournament, everybody is incredibly good. And that was a huge achievement for Michigan Tech because, like I said, they had been a team that no one would even have thought that they could make an NCAA tournament. And he took them from, I think they had the most improvement in wins last year. They had the best goal differential in the entirety of college hockey as far as scoring the most and allowing the least. So just from a recruiting perspective, he wasn't the head coach of that team, but to recruit, I mean, he was the head recruiter. So all of that talent that came in there was recruited by him. And that's a huge thing for the Storm to look forward to, that they have a recruiter who knows what kind of players he needs to build a top-notch team. Now, he hasn't been a head coach since before that. He was in the North American League, which is the league that's right under the USHL, and he was a head coach there for a season. So he's had some head coaching experience, but not the kind of head coaching experience that Jim Holton had. So I think the biggest transition for him, without even really speaking to him too much, when you look at his resume on paper, would be, okay, how does he handle the transition from assistant coach to head coach? The talent of players, I'm sure, is going to be there, but for him to handle egos, line combinations, systems, all those kind of things, I'm confident in him, but that's going to be the transition.
Yeah, and that's the thing you have to look at. And I think it is worth pointing out, you know, you kind of mentioned the WCHA and Michigan Tech's ascension from being at the bottom to, you know, moving up to the top. You're not talking the Sun Belt Conference in football here. This is one of the best hockey conferences in the country. So for them to make that kind of elevation with his assistants, because he was the assistant coach, but one of the leading recruiters, certainly was able to take them and head them in the right direction and kind of keep up with that kind of momentum.
The year before he took that job as an assistant coach at Michigan Tech, the team won 4 games. The year before that, they won 5. The year before that, they won 6. So if that's a thing in college, it's not as quick as in the USHL. You can turn around a team. We just saw Jim Holton. He turned around a team that was at the bottom the year before, and all of a sudden the Storm were 1 point out of the top of the conference. But in college, you got 4-year players. It takes a couple of years, and over those few years, they won a little bit more each year. And from his first year where they had only won 4 games, they won 29 in about 4 or 5 year span. So it's a pretty great turnaround.
It is. So, again, very good resume, and certainly hope that he can kind of bring that kind of magic here that Jim Holton kind of started. Now, one last question on the topic, and that is this. Had the tryout camp. It's really going to be Jim Holton's team with the personnel, correct? I mean, so his talent evaluation doesn't necessarily apply to this year, except for the possibility of some trades as you go. It's really going to be felt the year after.
Yes and no. I guess, well, here's the thing. So Jim Holton wasn't really doing a lot of scouting. So that's some, whereas Jim Holton, when you talk about the things that Bill McColton needs to do, X's and O's, once the players get to Kearney, Jim Holton was an unbelievable motivator, unbelievable coach with his experience. He made the players, he had the players playing at the top of their game. But Jim didn't recruit the players here to Kearney. Jim did not do any scouting. He didn't go on the road. That was our assistant coaching staff, and led by J.B. Bittner, who also has left, and he got an assistant coach position with the University of Wisconsin, which is one of the best teams in college hockey. So you can see what kind of a job J.B. Bittner was doing recruiting those players for Jim. But I don't want to get that confused. I mean, Jim was an unbelievable coach, but he wasn't really recruiting. Most of the players that were drafted for this season was done by our assistant coach, J.B. Bittner, as well as our head scout, Steve Lowe. Steve Lowe still remains with the team. He was at tryout camp. He helped pick this roster. Yes, Jim Holton was helping to pick the roster, but Steve Lowe had a big part in it. And I think, you know what, a lot of these players committed to colleges. They're at the top of their level. So, yes, I think there's going to be some trades. I think Bill is going to have to make decisions and make it his team. But that's not to say that he can't do that here in the next couple months. And I don't know if they'll completely have his identity. You're right, it might take a little bit longer. But the reality is that the players that are here, that wasn't necessarily Jim going out and scouting those players, because he was in Kearney with the team the whole season. But J.B. Bittner, who also has left, it's more of a J.B. Bittner and a Steve Lowe, our scouting team. Those guys are the ones who had picked the roster. So, yeah, there's some input from Jim, but he wasn't going out there and really wasn't that hands-on in picking those players.
Oh, I'm sure every general manager does it a little bit differently. He did have that title, so that's what got me thinking that
And the general manager title in the USHL, once the players get here, every trade, that's Jim Holton. Every, you know, whether we're adding a player, cutting a player, making a move, Jim Holton was making those decisions. But as far as going out and scouting at lower levels, younger age levels, unfortunately, the general manager, they can't do everything, so they have to rely on their staff. And some teams do it differently, but because Jim was from Canada, didn't really know U.S. hockey organizations as well, wasn't as familiar with some of the teams in the U.S., that's why he allowed the other guys to go ahead. Hey, you guys bring in some talent, and then when they get here, I'll evaluate if they can stay here.
All right. Well, it's always fun to talk a little ice.
Absolutely.
When it's kind of warm here in July.
Absolutely.
And like I say, a lot of big things happening here for the Storm. Randy Bushcutter, Jared Schaffrin here on the Doug and Daddy Show. And we're going to take a break here in a moment. But first, our Midtown Mart cooler question. Midtown Mart of Hastings, home of the coldest beer and the coolest topics. How do you feel about Chuck Blazer's lifetime ban from FIFA? And 82% of you said it was he should more individuals should be getting banned. And the other 18% was it was deserved. 0% thought that it was too much. And that says something about where we are right now with the corruption in FIFA. Now, our today's question, will Tim Duncan play out his entire 2-year contract now that he's re-signed with the Spurs? Question's pretty simple. Will he, won't he? Yes or no? Yes, of course he will. Or no, this will be his last season. What do you think, Tim Duncan? Barring injury, I mean, obviously, if you have a catastrophic injury, that wouldn't count. Do you think Tim Duncan played 2 more years?
Yes, of course. Why would he sign a deal if he wasn't? Tim Duncan, I mean, let's look at Tim Duncan's career. He's been pretty honest. He's been pretty much, he stays clean. He's never had any issues. He's been loyal to his organization. I don't know why he would lead them astray now at the end.
Yeah, well, absolutely. It would be out of character. So I agree with you there as well. But you can log on and answer our Midtown Mart cooler question, home of the coldest beer and the coolest topics. We're going to take a quick break. We'll continue with more of the Doug and Daddy Show. We'll talk with Brian Barnhart of the Fighting Illini when we come back right after this.
Every baseball fan has respect for Major League Baseball's past, present, and future. And it comes alive at the Museum of Nebraska Major League Baseball in downtown St. Paul. Dedicated to illustrating the careers of over 150 men with Nebraska ties who have made it to the majors. Enjoy Hall of Fame exhibits featuring Alexander, Gibson, Boggs, Vance, Ashburn, Crawford, and Southworth. The Museum of Nebraska Major League Baseball, a place you've got to see in downtown St. Paul. Open daily 9:30 to 4:30 and Saturday 10 to 2.
I call Kearney Crete & Block for all my landscaping bricks and paver.
We called Kearney Crete & Block when we decided to do an outdoor kitchen, fire pit, and patio. You should be calling Kearney Crete & Block and Christensen Concrete for all your concrete and masonry supplies. Let the professionals help you enhance the beauty and value of your home and business. Kearney Crete & Block and Christensen Concrete Products, building generations one block at a time.
Raxum Clay's August 15th at the Heartland Shooting Park. Hornaday Manufacturing is the presenting sponsor for the 23rd Annual Platte River Charity Shoot, benefiting Goodwill and the services they provide to people living with disabilities or barriers to working and living independently. There's something for everyone with youth, adult, individual, and team competitions. Scholarships awarded to winners of the youth division. Platte River Charity Shoot is sponsored by Rasmussen & Associates, Five Points Bank, and Hornaday Manufacturing. Sign up today at goodwillne.org.
Where you're a neighbor, not a number, we're Custom Pack.
This week at Custom Pack of Hastings, get USDA Select Boneless Beef Ribeye Steaks, only $8.98 a pound. All varieties of 10-inch Village Pie Maker Pies, only $9.75 each. And lean tender Port Country Ribs, $1.49 a pound. It's all at Custom Pack of Hastings.
At Custom Pack, you're a neighbor, not a number.
The reality of today's real estate market is that there are more buyers than listings. Preparation plus the resources afforded by OneRocky.com can put you in the home you want, while delaying could cost you both dollars and the home you want. OneRocky.com, the right website. OneRocky.com, the right smartphone app. Rocky Geyser, the right real estate agent.
This is Rocky Geyser. If you're not on OneRocky.com, you're not on the right website.
If you care, call Rocky Geyser, because he does. OneRocky.com.
You'll have fun, fun, fun when you make it Funner Park.
Fast horses, top tracks, live draw keno, great food, full bar. Where else but Funner Park's Finish Line Restaurant and Sports Lounge? Come out for lunch and nonstop racing from 23 tracks, or twilight racing from Lone Star and the Prime Rib Special. So race to the finish line. Grand Island, number one for food and fun.
Welcome back to the Doug and Daddy Show. And speaking of champions, we speak of T&L's GPS navigation corner system like no other. No question about it. T&L, which has its roots right here in central Nebraska, is absolutely the best choice for your irrigation system. And again, they're like no other, but that doesn't mean that you only have to go one place to find out more about T&L. No, you can get a hold of some of your local distributors like Derek Wagner of Wagner Irrigation in Holdridge, Kyle Stewart, R&K Irrigation in Grand Island, or Bill Shapley with Mid-States Irrigation in Kearney, and they'll get you all set up. Find out how you can have your entire irrigation system at your fingertips using GPS, using your smartphone, using Wi-Fi, and it is the ultimate in design simplicity from the aspect of what you need to do, how it operates, how consistent it is, and you'll know that the choice is simple like no other. T&L, check them out online at www.tlirr.com. Again, that's www. Why did I say that? Everybody knows that. It's at TLIRR.com, and often T&L is our sponsor of recruiting information for the Huskers. Well, we're not going to talk Husker football right now. We are, however, going to talk about the University of Illinois as we begin.
It's that time. 14 teams in 14 days, where we'll preview a different team each day, leading you up to the Big Ten Media Days July 30th and 31st in Chicago. We're headed to the West Division for today's team, the Fighting Illini of Illinois.
And kind enough to join us to talk about the Fighting Illini is Brian Barnhart, the radio voice of the Fighting Illini on the radio network for Illinois football. Brian, appreciate your time. Randy Bushcutter and Jared Schaffern here with you from Central Nebraska. Thank you so much for joining us.
Well, it's great to be on. Great to be first.
Yeah, you know, we might as well start right there, right? With the Fighting Illini. It's you guys are kind of an interesting program right now because there's a lot of positive things. Last year, you guys were able to make it into the bowl game, and from where Illinois football was a few years ago, making it and playing in the Heart of Dallas Bowl, I thought was a pretty good accomplishment. But also, it's kind of a program in flux, isn't it?
Yeah, a little bit, I guess. Although, you know, the continuity with Tim Beckman, basically his staff is back. They did add Mike Fair as a co-defensive coordinator. He's going to coach the defensive line. He's been in the NFL for several years and worked for Lovie Smith down in Tampa most recently. So there's been a little bit of adjustment there on the staff. But, you know, Tim Beckman now in his fourth year. So there's been some continuity there. And as you mentioned, it's gone from 2 wins to 4 to 6. People tell me, though, that are around the game a lot, say that going from the 6 to 8, for instance, win total is always a little trickier than the other ones. So, you know, I think he's got it headed in the right direction in that sense. But now they've got to kind of take that next step, and I think that'll help attendance. I think it'll help a lot of different things. But he's been building it very, very slowly. And in this day and age, as you guys know, patience is usually 2 to 3 years. That's about what you get. And you need to show some direction. And they had enough direction, enough momentum forward last year to warrant, you know, Mike Thomas saying that, you know, Tim Beckman was going to be back because there was a lot of speculation that whether he would or not. And he's got all of his guys now that he's recruited. And he's done, I think, a really good job of building a foundation. But sometimes these things take longer than people want. And so I think, you know, this is a big year for him.
You mentioned the continuity of Coach Beckman, but also continuity with some starters returning. 8 on the offensive side of the ball, I think 7 defensively, including a leading rusher back from last year. And I think just about everybody that caught a football last year for the Fighting Illini is back as well. Does that kind of add to this feeling that maybe you can get to that next level where you do get that 8th or 9th win?
Yeah, I think so. I think it contributes to that. Obviously, having Wes Lunt back at quarterback, although he was hurt at the end of last year, and the team kind of rallied behind their senior backup, Riley O'Toole, who led them to the bowl game. And so Wes, you know, is he 100% healthy? I think he is. You know, he's back. He's had a spring under his belt. I thought he did really well. They've tried to shore up the depth behind him in the backup quarterback position. You mentioned Josh Ferguson. He's probably one of the more versatile backs in the country. I think you guys have seen him play against Nebraska. He's done pretty well with, you know, running the football and getting him open in space and then doing a lot of good things. So he's back again, so he should have a big year. And they've got some guys back on the offensive line that should help up front. And just stabilizing things. They've added some junior college guys as well at running back and some on the defensive side of the ball too. And they had a recruiting class that was ranked by a lot of people, you know, right in the middle of the Big Ten. You know, 5th, 6th, I think, somewhere in that range, which surprised a lot of people, and got a couple of 4-stars mixed in there. And I think that overall, just, you know, enough progress momentum-wise to keep it going the right way. Depth was a big, big concern the first couple of years. I mean, I remember Tim Beckman telling me in one of the first meetings I had with him, he goes, during that first year that they won, you know, a couple of games, he said, "Brian, if we have any injuries, we're in big trouble." And they had some injuries. You know, and then the depth became a huge concern, and they still had depth issues even until last year. But I think they've addressed a lot of that. Special teams are better, you know, and I think there's just a lot of progress been made on and off the field, I think.
Go through your schedule this a little bit here. At a conference, you get 4 games start off, and obviously the North Carolina one sticks out. And then you get to open the Big Ten play on October 3rd with the Cornhuskers. Take us through your schedule a little bit this year.
Yeah, you mentioned the schedule. Kent State, which is going to be interesting because that's game going to be on a Friday night, which is normally obviously a big high school football night, but for television reasons, and they've got a new tailgate area right up adjacent to the stadium that they've adjusted slightly, so they're going to test that out, and that'll be a good game, I think, with Kent State. Western Illinois comes in from in-state. You mentioned the Carolina game out in Chapel Hill. They've undergone some changes out there, and then Middle Tennessee State at the end of September, then the game with the Huskers. And one of these years, we will not have to start the Big Ten season with Nebraska, but it's not this year. At Iowa, we haven't been to Iowa City, it's interesting, since about 08, just because of a quirk in the schedule and when they went to divisional play and so forth. We haven't seen the Hawkeyes in Iowa City in a long time, so that should be an interesting game. And then Wisconsin for homecoming, at Penn State, at Purdue, home to the national champion, Ohio State Buckeyes, at Minnesota, a team that Illinois beat here in Champaign last year. And then the game against Northwestern will be interesting, guys, because it'll be at Soldier Field in Chicago, which Illinois is always constantly trying to tap into the Chicago area.
Yeah.
And so they moved the game up to Soldier Field.
We're talking with Brian Barnhart, who is the radio play-by-play voice for the Fighting Illini football program, who went 6-7 last year. Brian, you touched on this a little bit, but a couple of things that I've kind of read and looking up information about the Fighting Illini was one of the questions I've often heard, and you touched on it, is the depth for Illinois football, that they're okay, they'll have maybe 6 or 7 pretty good players, but really there just isn't that depth there yet. Do you agree with that analysis, and what can be done for the program to kind of change that?
Yeah, I can tell you it's a lot better than it was the first year, and not only the first couple of years. I don't know where they thin, but they were really young. In fact, the entire secondary basically has, you know, got thrown into the fire as freshmen, and basically got fried that first year. But now they're all, you know, seniors, juniors, and seniors, and so those guys have come a long way. But I think the depth, I don't know if it's exactly where Tim Beckman wants it. Any football coach will tell you they can always have more depth. But I think it's, you know, I would say it's about 80% of where it needs to be. Maybe still a little shy, but it just comes down to when they came in, there was just basically almost an entire class that just disappeared. And so they've been scrambling to plug that up and fill it, and have done so in the last couple of years with some junior college transfers who have worked out really well. I think Jahad Ward was a guy that on defense, a lot of people are really going to see him take off this year, but just to mention one name. But, yeah, it's always been a concern. You know, we don't have the luxury, the depth over the years that a Nebraska has or an Ohio State has with the talent that way, but certainly I think it's gotten a lot better. It was really thin the first year.
Brian, when you look at the recruiting, maybe it's philosophy or you know, you look at the state of Illinois, and the team has seemed to go more and more national and has kind of lost some of those top Illinois players, a lot of those guys going elsewhere to play after having good high school seasons in Illinois. Do you think the team is trying to continue to recruit in-state, or have they kind of decided, you know what, we need to go national and we need to get better by bringing in players from all over the country?
Yeah, a little bit of both. I think they did actually have more success in Chicago, which is basically known more for basketball recruiting than football recruiting. Talk about the city of Chicago itself, mm-hmm. publicly. Most of the really talented kids play basketball, not to say there's not talent, but they've been able to get some more headway in the city of Chicago and in the suburbs. But they've also, you know, Tim Beckman's from the state of Ohio. He, you know, his dad coached at Cleveland in the NFL, so he knows Ohio really well. Bill Kubit's, recruiting extends down to Florida in some cases. So I think it just kind of depends on who's on your staff, the areas they're familiar with. Maybe they coached in high school at one time in a different state. Yeah, they branched out a little bit. They have what they call a 600-mile radius, around the state of Illinois and Indiana and Ohio. They get a lot of players out of Ohio and have, since Tim Beckman's been here, since he coached at Ohio State as an assistant and was the head coach at Toledo, so he knows that area real well. But, you know, they definitely have to battle a lot of times for kids in the suburbs. Wisconsin will come get a couple. Iowa will usually pick off a couple. Obviously, you're competing with Northwestern as well. Indiana, Purdue, Chicago is so easy to get to and so easy to go see recruits play that, and the same is true in basketball too. I mean, it's very, very competitive up there. And do they need to do a better job of holding the suburban kids, the offensive linemen? Obviously, yes, they do. But I think they've made some headway up there. It's slow, but it's been and gradual, but I think they're doing better. But there is a lot of competition. Notre Dame's the other one, you know, that comes in a lot of times. So it's just it's very, very, very tough to compete, but you need to win to give yourself a chance.
Right. It's a catch-22, chicken or the egg kind of thing in terms of being able to recruit. Success makes you a better recruiter. Better recruiting makes you more successful. We're talking with Brian Barnhart of the Fighting Illini Radio Network. And you look at Illinois' offense, they should be pretty good. Leading rusher coming back in Josh Ferguson. Your leading receiver, Mike Dudek, who I especially want to talk about because he's caught 6 touchdown passes, over 1,000 yards, and quarterback Wes Lunt coming back. Can this be a pretty special offense for the Fighting Illini, especially with Dudek catching the ball?
Yeah, I think it can. Now, Mikey Dudek, he got hurt, I think, during spring ball or right before, right during it. And so he may miss the first month, they think. Now, his progress has been, and what I heard is his progress has been really good. Hopefully he'd be back for the Nebraska game, you know, and maybe even later.
Well, it depends who you ask. It depends who you ask whether or not that's a good thing or bad thing.
Right. but he was the darnest thing, because and people knew about him a little bit, but he was not recruited heavily because of his size. He's just not that big. And when you look at him, you think second base, you know, second baseman in baseball. He's just a little guy. But, man, we were watching in camp, you know, in August of last year, and we're like, who is this guy? I mean, he, like, runs like a deer, catches everything, and just runs tremendous routes. And he has worked extremely hard to overcome whatever physical limitations he has as far as his size with his speed and his knowledge of how to run routes. I mean, you could tell by the end of the year, guys, when people were covering him, you know, the other team was just getting so frustrated with him because he was always open. As you know, they were shoving him out of bounds, you know, and just in frustration because – it was just amazing to watch. So, yeah, when he's healthy, you know, he's as good as there is. May wind up, even with the injury, at some point being the all-time, you know, receptions leader in Illinois history by the time he's done. But, yeah, with Ferguson back, and they've added some junior college running backs that will help. The receivers, for the most part, are back, as you said, and healthy and ready to go. So, yeah, I think the offense, you know, should be in really good shape. The question has always been the defense under Tim Beckman, and they did make some strides that way slowly. In fact, that's one of the reasons why they were able to get to a bowl game. The defense improved enough at the end of the year to give them a chance in games for the offense to do something.
Brian, we often like to leave with this. Your prediction, where do you kind of see them being in terms of where they place in the division, and how many wins do you think the Fighting Illini can reasonably expect to have this year?
Well, I think it's reasonable to expect, you know, where you can win 6 games. I think that's reasonable. You've got some games early that you should be able to win. The Carolina game, as you mentioned, I think is a key one. If you can steal one on the road, you know, you're facing a Wisconsin team. Not that that's ever going to be easy, but they're undergoing a little bit of transformation, you know, with the new coach. You know, obviously, you've got to go to Penn State, which is a tough one. Ohio State won't be easy. At Minnesota is a team that, you know, that's basically a toss-up. You did beat them here last year on a last-second fumble recovery. I think 6-7 wins is reasonable. I think it's in that ballpark, 7-8, if you have a really good year, 9, if everything went your way. But I think that's reasonable to expect. You're in a division that, of the two divisions, and this is no knock on Nebraska, but just if you look at the two divisions, honestly, mm-hmm. Michigan State on the other side, Ohio State, Michigan, with their new coach Harbaugh, Penn State. I mean, I think of the two divisions, the East Division is a real load to try to get through. And Illinois is not in that division, but you know, getting through the West, there's a chance there with a couple of changes within the division. Iowa's still looking to come back and get back to the level they were at one point. So I think there's some openings there, but you better play well, you better stay healthy, you better have a lot of stuff go your way, and then you've got a shot to be competitive in the division and put yourself up for a nice bowl. And I think that's a reasonable expectation. What they don't want to have happen is, you know, crash and burn, you know, wind up 2-10. Then you've got big problems. You know, you need to be where you were last year and then maybe up at a couple of notches.
Yeah, you're a transition here for Tim Beckman. Would you not agree? Because you kind of touched on it. I don't know if 6 wins would be enough for him to stick around. It'd be decision time at that point.
Yeah, it was close last year, I think, for, you know, Mike Thomas, and a lot of people were wondering how it was going to go. And there was a couple of games, you know, the Penn State game, they pulled out in the last second here in Champaign. It was a last second field goal. And then the Minnesota game was a fumble at the very end that Illinois recovered. So it was a real close call last year. And Tim knows that. I mean, obviously he's got to win some more games, and getting that, you know, from 6 to 8, like I said, is the challenge this year. And we'll see if he can do it.
All right. Well, Brian, I appreciate the time. Best of luck to you. And we'll see you in Chicago at the end of the month.
All right. Thank you, guys.
All right. That's Brian Barnhart, who is the radio play-by-play voice and knows a lot about Illinois football, who was kind enough to join us in our preview of 14 teams in 14 days here on the Doug and Daddy Show. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, our Fanatics Friday Fan Quiz. We'll give away a gift card courtesy of Fanatics. We'll do that as we continue with more of the Doug and Daddy Show right after this.
Now's the time to start training for the Nebraska Senior Games. Seniors ages 50 and up will have the chance to test their skills in a variety of different sports and activities, including track and field, golf, basketball, bowling, swimming, tennis, and many more. This year's games will be held August 6th through the 9th in Kearney. For registration and more information, go to NebraskaSeniorGames.com. Registrations are due July 17th. The 2015 Nebraska Senior Games, where competition never gets old. Get in the games at NebraskaSeniorGames.com.
Crazy Burn is the latest, hottest weight loss product exclusively being sold at the Hastings, Kearney, and Grand Island GNCs. Are you looking to get fit and slim down for summer? Crazy Burn has ephedra effects resulting in more energy, appetite suppression, and amazing weight loss. Start working on that beach body today. Don't go mad hoping for something to work. Get crazy with Crazy Burn and start getting results today. Available exclusively at your Hastings GNC just north of Walmart, the Kearney GNC in the Hilltop Mall, and the Grand Island GNC in the Conestoga Mall.
You've taught your son everything, from fishing to hunting, baseball to football. You're the man. He looks up to you to teach him all the great things in life.
But have you taught him that real men don't abuse women?
This is one of the most important talks a man can ever have with his son.
Teach, talk, listen, lead.
To learn more about how to start this conversation, log on to sassacenter.org for resources. This message supported by funds awarded by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
While dreams of sugar plums dance in some little heads, does your child dream of combines and cornfields instead? CHS AgriService Center wants to be the company that helps you make those dreams come true. Family farms are passed down from generation to generation, and CHS has prided themselves in being here in the communities, the schools, and on the farm, helping you make those dreams come true. CHS AgriService Center, people and resources you can count on always, and always here at chsagra.com.
And welcome back here to the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. You know, they have all sorts of great lines there at Midway. There are dealerships, Chevrolet, Buick, GMCs. You can just pick a category and find a great deal that they have there at Midway. For example, on the GMC side, it's the little things that set the all-new GMC Sierra apart. Qualified buyers right now can get 0% for 5 years. Plus a $2,000 allowance on the 2015 GMC Sierra SLT. Stop into Midway Chevrolet Buick GMC Cadillac and see how the GMC can fit into your lifestyle. And again, 0% financing with obviously approved credit for 5 years, plus a $2,000 allowance. Just one of the many great deals that you'll find at the Midway Auto Dealership. And again, check out their entire inventory of both new and used cars at thinkmidway.com. Well, it is Friday, and there's a lot of great things about Friday. One of them is we get to give away some prizes. We get to give away our Fanatics Friday Fan Quiz, a $25 gift card. Fanatics, of course, your sports bar dedicated to bringing you the game, great food, and good times. They were obviously the headquarters for the American Outlaws during the Women's World Cup. Well, the men are playing for the Gold Cup, and so there's some games, including against Haiti tonight. So still a great opportunity to go in there and watch some soccer or the beautiful game, however you want to term it, and you'll have a pretty good time there with the Outlaws at Fanatics. And they have custom handcrafted pizza with your choice of toppings, made to your specifications, a wide variety of appetizers. It is a great place for wings, sandwiches, burgers. They have a kids menu. And don't forget, when the weather is, and today would be a great day to be out in their bullpen, their outdoor beer garden. And again, it's all more fun with the Fanatics. Fanatics, a block north of the tracks on Central Avenue in Kearney. All right, so coming up is the All-Star Game. A couple of events associated with the All-Star Game. And by the way, are you an All-Star Game guy here, Jared?
Yeah, some years. I kind of get into it some years. So I think it's funny. I think everyone gets more into who's selected than the actual game. It becomes more of a debate on who's in, who's out, A-Rod, everybody. And really, the game is kind of just all a little bit of a fun in the show.
Yeah, yeah. And again, the rules changes that they had a few years ago to try to make sure that they don't have ties. I didn't realize until I was doing a little bit of research, I didn't realize they even had a re-entry rule for the All-Star game. I didn't realize that actually if you run out of pitchers, you can dig back in and re-enter one of those pitchers. So again, I think the odds that we would have another tie
aren't real great. But we want to give away something, and we're going to associate it with the Home Run Derby and or the All-Star Game. Just give us a call here on our line, 888-455-3776. Again, 888-455-3776. And when we have a caller, we'll ask you one of a couple of questions dealing with either the Home Run Derby or the All-Star Game and give yourself a chance to win a $25 gift card. And we do have someone on the line. Who are we talking to?
This is Ryan.
All right, Ryan, I'm going to give you a question associated with the Home Run Derby, okay?
Okay.
All right. Well, Todd Frazier of the Cincinnati Reds is in the Home Run Derby. Obviously, he wants to win it in his home stadium. Who is the only player since they restarted the Home Run Derby back in 85 to win the Home Run Derby in their home stadium?
Is it Barry Bonds?
No, they had the Home Run Derby there one year, but not while he was with the Giants. So try again. Give us a call back. And again, who is the only player? That's our first question. I'll alter these around a little bit. Who's on the line?
It's Bob.
All right, Bob, I'm going to give you the same question. Who is the only player so far to win the Home Run Derby in their home stadium?
Let's try Prince Fielder.
Was who? I'm sorry?
Prince Fielder.
No. Again, he's won it a couple of times, but not on his home field. Thanks for giving us a call. Appreciate it. And we're going to switch the question up a little bit. Who are we talking to?
Colin.
All right, Colin. Going to give you a little bit different question. Who's the only Kansas City Royal to be the MVP of the All-Star Game?
Carlos Beltran.
Not a bad guess. Unfortunately, it is incorrect, as only one time has that happened. I have a couple of MVP questions that I got rolled up in my sleeve here. Give us a call. Again, our line here is 888-455-3776. The last four digits, if you're spelling it out with your phone, would spell ESPN. So it's 455-ESPN or 455-3776. All right, who are we talking to?
Colin again.
All right, Colin. I can't remember what question I gave Colin.
Probably the first one.
Who's the only Royal to win the MVP
of the Mike Sweeney.
Sorry, it's not Mike Sweeney. Not Mike Sweeney. I'm surprised we haven't had a guess of. Well, the guy that you think of with the Kansas City Royals.
The one guy that I would have guessed.
The guy you guessed. Yeah. The guy you guessed earlier. Again, give us a call at 455-3776. And we have someone on the line. Who are we talking to?
Travis.
All right, Travis, who's the only Royal to win the MVP of the world, of the All-Star Game?
Bo Jackson.
It is Bo Jackson. Bo Jackson was the MVP, and I'm looking at the wrong sheet here, but congratulations to you. Stay on the line here, and Caleb will get your information, and we'll get you that $25 gift card from our good friends at Fanatics, and they'll get you all set up and ready to go. Bo Jackson was the winner back in 1989, and the other question that we asked, who's the only guy to ever win the Home Run Derby in their home stadium? Did you want to take a shot at this?
You know
one?
What? I don't know. I was stumped.
It's not a guy you think of as a traditional home run hitter.
Right.
Ryan Sandberg.
Okay.
Actually won it at Wrigley Field.
That must have been great.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure the environment was rather electric
awesome.
When that happened. With this discussion, and you kind of touched on this earlier, discussion about how many Royals are going to be in there. I'm reminded of they took away voting from the player, from the fans for decades, and it stemmed from 1957 when the Cincinnati Reds stuffed the ballot box. They had all eight starters, position players. All eight of them were Cincinnati Reds because they stuffed the ballot box. The local newspaper printed off extra ballots. This is before some of this other stuff was going on. Printed ballots that you could bring into the ball game. So they had extra ballots because every team was kind of allowed just a certain number of votes. Anyway, they stuffed the ballot box big time, and they finally decided to throw a couple of Reds out and put a couple of Reds in. And I don't know, the guys they brought in was, Hank Aaron guy wasn't too shabby. And this Willie Mays guy probably deserved to be an all-star as well. So it's kind of interesting with that. And with the home run, the home field advantage in the World Series being associated with it, I was almost thinking, you know, some of those Royals, second baseman, maybe doesn't necessarily deserve to be an all-star. Careful, Royals fans, because you kind of think that you're going to be able to play in Game 7 in the World Series again, potentially, right? So, I mean, you kind of have to put a team out there you think is going to win.
I think a few things on this, actually. First of all, it's tough to say about the voting because obviously, you want the right players to be in the game, but also it's great that the fans can contribute.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it's awesome, and I think it says a lot about, you know, who the fans really like to watch. And I don't think it needs to be taken away from the fans, but at the same time, I mean, you have some fans that want to participate more than others. And hey, Royals fans are getting into it. Good for them. That's great. So I see on one side, you know what? How could you not have, you know, Mike Trout in the All-Star game? You got to have Mike Trout in the All-Star game. He's a great player. But at the same time, hey, if you're an Angels fan and you don't go out and vote for Mike Trout, you got all these Royals fans want to see their players in the game. I think that's a great thing.
Yeah, and again, I think the Royals that got voted in, I think were deserving. And in fact, I voted a couple of times for Mike Moustakas. Yep. I think he should be that next guy that goes in there as well. So the ones that are on the roster, and obviously Alex Gordon would be a great addition to that too if he wasn't injured.
Yeah.
Those guys deserve to be out there. So it'll be kind of fun to watch that much Royal blue out there in Cincinnati.
I've been voting a little bit for my guy Jerry's Familia for the Mets. He's been an unbelievable closer this year. He's on the final vote. I think he's 25 out of 27, and he was a guy who was not even on the radar, and he's been lights out. The only reason the Mets are even over 500 is probably because of Jerry's Familia. He's been that good. But you know what, Randy, I got to bring this up because you mentioned the home field advantage, and I know it's relatively new. They you know, Selig changed it a couple years back, and the whole tie.
It's been 8 years now.
I think it's maybe the worst thing in sports. It's horrible. Like, why should that determine the home field advantage? You can have a team that has no all-stars, or maybe a guy coming off the bench, or a guy who threw one inning of the game, and it has no effect on at all. Like, how could you not put it as the record? Like, how could you not just give the team with a better record home field advantage?
Well, and that I don't like. I think that actually be worse. And here's why: because you don't play an even schedule. You don't play the same level of competition.
Worse than having
from
the
American
All-Star
League versus.
Yeah, I mean, the All-Star game is
that
a joke,
is that any worse than having the All-Star game decide Game 7? Is that any worse than even-numbered years one league gets it, odd-numbered years the other league gets it? Is it really any worse than that?
Let me throw this one out there then, because this is another thing that I've seen which I like also. What about in interleague play, whichever league has the better record?
Now, that I can wrap my mind around. I will say that.
That's a league-wide thing. You got interleague play, and now interleague play is even expanded. There's more of it, and it's becoming, you know, a little bit different.
I can wrap my mind around that better than almost anything else. And to say it's the worst thing, though,
I think it's pretty bad, though.
Again, even numbered years, it was one league. Odd numbered years was the other.
But at least that's
what they did for a millennia.
You can't argue that that's even.
Right. I won't argue that. But again, you know, there was a contest, and that contest decided who got the home field advantage. So I can wrap my mind around that as well. So I don't know. To me, they put it in there so they wouldn't be a tie, and then they changed all these other rules, including expanding the roster, which I think was all good things. The odds of us having another tie, even without that, is probably not very good. Mm-hmm. And again, with the re-entry rule where you can actually bring back in another pitcher, because that's why we had to tie the last time, was they ran out of pitchers. Now they'd be able to kind of change that. So
you ever been to an All-Star game?
I almost went to when it was in Kansas City. And I do not have any. I'm a huge Reds fan, but I don't have any connections to get Reds tickets. So I would love to go to one.
Never been to the All-Star game, but I was at the Home Run Derby a couple years back.
Was that in Kansas City?
No, it was in New York. Yet last year in Yankee Stadium, Josh Hamilton hit those like 33 in one round. It was unbelievable.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
And with the Home Run Derby, which you'll be able to hear on Monday night here on ESPN Radio, a different format. I kind of like the new format.
I like it too.
So you don't have players that get themselves completely worn out with that as well. So, Jared, appreciate your time, man. It was good to talk a little hockey and everything else.
Thanks for having me.
All right, Jared Chaffron, kind enough to join us here as my co-host here today. Want to say thanks to Brian Barnhart of the Illini Radio Network for joining us, talking about how Illinois will be this year in Big Ten play, as well as Jade Meads, who gave us an update on the Nebraska Senior Games. Join us on Monday as well. We'll wrap up the weekend in sports. Doug will be back, and he'll be moaning the fact that he couldn't watch Alex Gordon play when he went to the Kansas City game. Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll be back with the Doug and Daddy Show for you Monday at 11 a.m. right here on ESPN.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Yeah.